Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which is now in full swing. Here we go. Every day for the next 7 months. Let's go. Joining us from Brooklyn, New York, where she has been with the Nets this week. And she will be there for Wednesday night's game, I assume, against the Timberwolves, is Jackie McMullen. Hello, Jackie.
Hello, Brian. How are you today?
Now, are you actually staying in Brooklyn?
Of course, I'm embedded. I'm embedded. I am committed, Brian. I am in Brooklyn. And by the way, right. I love Brooklyn. I found myself a little nice Italian restaurant, one of those old school, like you walked into a time warp and everybody's wearing tuxedos and bring you
like
four
Paul George.
Different kinds of bread. Exactly. Very much like Paul George. In fact, it's funny you mentioned that. When I saw him on the bench, I thought, that looks like Francisco, my waiter from yesterday afternoon. This is a true thing.
Can I have
thing.
Some more olive oil?
Yes, please.
Big old gold chain.
They give you way too much bread and way too much pasta, but they make the pasta yourself, themselves, and they look at you to make sure you eat all of it. It was a bad decision in that regard, but I'm feeling very happy today.
Great. And joining us from Dallas, where he is, I just checked, he is not on the banned list yet for tonight's Mavericks-Wizards game, is Band McMahon. You'll get into the game tonight, McMahon?
I am in the house, and I mean, I could tell you about the turkey sandwiches that I've been making myself, but nobody really wants to hear that. Not as exciting as the fancy Italian restaurants.
Yeah, well, there's some good food in Dallas. So it occurred to me as I was watching the end of the Raptors game last night, and then we had a terrific, for the most part, a highly competitive Laker-Clipper game. We are now in a spot. A year ago at this time, most of the conversations that I was having with league executives revolved around, boy, can you believe this is what's going to happen in free agency? That's what's going to happen. The Clippers were dispatching people on practically every game to Toronto from day one to stalk Kawhi. And as I watched those two relatively close games on opening night, and as we just saw a whole bunch of guys extend their contracts, not only the young guys, but also Bradley Beal, and when you look at the salary cap scenarios for next summer, really it's kind of, you know, obviously it could change with deals during the season, but it's kind of low, you know, small market, you know, teams that aren't necessarily going to be putting together a super team. Jackie, I actually think we may be able, for the foreseeable future, to focus on the basketball. And maybe not every fan who loves transactions and the rotisserie game and the hot stove, to use some baseball terms, is excited about that, but I'm relieved. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I'm relieved by it.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it, Brian? Because we've talked forever about how weak that class was, that 2020 free agency class was going to be. And I think we talked about this a little last week, that teams were getting nervous. Well, what if someone decides they're desperate and they have all this cap space and they want to just throw funny money at my guy, whether my guy is whomever, you know, Pascal Siakam or Jaylen Brown or Buddy Hield or whoever else you want to say. And so it made sense that all these guys lined up. You know, it's funny because last night's two games, I thought they were both really entertaining. We're not mid-season form by any stretch. But the energy level, the passion of all four teams that played, what's at stake, that's what makes the league great. And I really enjoyed, you know, I remember when I saw Nick Nurse in Vegas, right? It was days after Kawhi had sent him the text when he was at the Prince concert, you know, I'm heading home, I'm going home. And he's like, well, we lost him. And he called Siakam and he called Fran
Prince.
He said, well, guys, yeah. Oh, yeah, he was at the Prince concert. A Prince, you know, impersonator
cover.
Concert.
I was wow, we zipped right over the news there. Okay,
oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, so sorry there. Yeah, sorry about that. They were actually singing Purple Rain, and he looked down, and Nate, his assistant, looked down at their text, and it was Kawhi saying, I'm out of here, basically. And, you know,
this isn't another Heath Ledger-like story. This was a
No,
band.
It's not.
Okay, very good.
This isn't a Rob Pelinka story about getting kind of famous. Anyway, Pascal Siakam and Van Vliet, he texted them both the next day and said, boys, more shots, more minutes. And look what they did last night. Both of them dropped 34 points. 34. 34 and 7 for Fred with the assist. Siakam. 18 rebounds. He was a monster. So this is the new normal for Toronto. And my gosh, those rings. I'm not even sure I would wear that ring. It's so gaudy.
Yeah, it's kind of a throwback because, like, for the last few years, gold has been out and platinum has been the standard. And the Raptors are bringing back gold, putting the ring is basically gold.
Baby, gold on the ceiling, black keys. It's all good.
Jackie, real quick, were you surprised that the Celtics went as high as they did for Jaylen Brown? I don't know how accurate it was, but I had heard some of the numbers that he had turned down in the leading up to it, and I heard that the turn down, the guarantees were in the mid 80s, and he ended up getting over $100 million, I think, guaranteed.
Well, no, some of it, there's incentives involved in that contract.
I can't remember but anyway, it was higher than I thought it would be.
It's 103 guaranteed plus incentives. So that's.
I'm not surprised because of what I just said, Brian. He's a great young player, great young two-way player that has he proven it yet? No, but this is the new NBA. And because as those dominoes started to fall, as those players, those restricted free agents started to re-up with their current team, the one player that is left, whoever it was going to be, is going to get a huge payday. And I think the Celtics decided, you know, we don't want it to be Jaylen Brown. Now, the interesting thing is, we've talked about this before, too. There's a redundancy in the Celtics roster, right? Their top players are all wing players. And, you know, Jason Tatum, I still think, is the one, the designated star, the next great star for the Celtics. And there's some redundancy there with him and Jaylen. You know, can they play together? Does that make sense? But I think the Celtics we'll worry about that later. We know we want these two guys. We're going to build around these two young guys. And, you know, if it turns out that later on we trade Jaylen Brown, and I'm not saying they are, they're even considering that. I'm just saying if you lock him up, he's yours one way or another. You keep him or down the road because he's chafing at the fact that he can't become the undisputed star or whatever, he's yours. So it made sense to me.
McMahon, did you I think maybe the most surprising one for me was DeJounte Murray, who agrees to $16 million a year. Now, I don't know the health of his knees. He looked good to me when I saw him in the preseason. But that
I was going to say, I saw him in the preseason, and he looked phenomenal. And my initial reaction to that was I think that is going to be a great deal for the Spurs. And, look, you understand it from DeJounte Murray's perspective as well. You know, this guy just came back after missing a year with a serious knee injury. You know, I mean, we can talk about $64 million as a potential bargain. I'd like to have $64 million guaranteed. I mean, he's set up for the rest of his life and generations, you know, if he takes care of his money. But, I mean, I really think by NBA economical standards, that's going to end up being an absolutely great deal for the Spurs. And, you know, it's a thing where they're obviously showing confidence in this guy coming off of a major injury. But I really think that San Antonio got a steal there.
Well, you know, there were some extensions that we also saw the veteran players. We saw Bradley Beal, as we mentioned. We saw Joe Ingles sign an extension, a little one-year extension. A couple other guys since the summer, obviously CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard. One guy who did not get an extension, who was eligible, and if you're looking for a potential star quality player who could actually be on the market this year, was another Spur. DeMar DeRozan did not get an extension. I know that there were some talks about it. You have a feel, McMahon, at all in Texas there? Obviously, the Spurs don't typically make midseason moves, but he does, I believe, have 2 years left. Or it's 1 year after this year, so yeah, 2 years. I wasn't surprised they didn't get it done, but I do think it's something to watch. If there's one thing that came out of this that didn't get settled, that was maybe it.
Yeah, and the Spurs are in a, I don't know if interesting is the right word, but they're in a kind of a, in foreign territory for them, where they've been in the playoffs 22 straight years, but they're probably going to be scuffling for one of, if not the last seed in the Western Conference. And so you know, do at some point, you know, is it about trying to reload for the future? And if that's the case, you know, how interested is Pop in that sort of scenario? But to me, locking in long term to DeMar DeRozan doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense for them. You know,
well, they did extend. Was it last year they extended Aldridge? I mean, they've given Aldridge an extension, so it's not like they're opposed to it. But I do think that they may pivot one way or the other, and I don't think they want to be stuck into it.
Hello, no one is available to take your call.
Let me just pause for a second and tell you about Ancient Nutrition. Did you know that your skin, hair, nails, and connective tissues are all made from collagen? And that generally speaking, once you turn 30, which I have, your body naturally slows in its production of that collagen? A standard modern diet typically won't help either, since it's often lacking in, guess what? Collagen. That's why collagen supplements are so popular in the wellness and beauty community, and why Ancient Nutrition created Multi-Collagen Protein. Ancient Nutrition's Multi-Collagen Protein supports healthy skin, joint health, a healthy gut, and of course, healthy fingernails, which are important to me and Andrew for sure. Plus, instead of one or two collagen types, Ancient Nutrition's Multi-Collagen Protein features five different collagen types. It's just a flavorless powder that you can take in a glass of water or put it in your coffee. It's made from four different food sources: beef, chicken, fish, and eggshells, all from a non-GMO, grass-fed, cage-free, and cruelty-free sources. I wish I was from a cruelty-free source. It contains 9 grams of proteins and 0 grams of carbs or fat. There's a lot of options out there, especially as collagen is a trend right now. So stick with Ancient Nutrition's Multi-Collagen Protein, the one multi-collagen praised by Better Nutrition, Women's Health, and many more. And you can get $10 off right now at ancientnutrition.com. using the promo code HOOP, that's H-O-O-P. It's a special offer for our listeners and a simple way to support our show. Get $10 off at ancientnutrition.com, promo code HOOP.
Hello, no one is available to take your call.
So Jackie, what did you, having spent a few days with the Nets, I don't want to take away from the story that you're going to write, but that to me is going to be one of the interesting teams to watch this year. Kevin Pelton was on with us a couple of days ago, and his computer says that the Nets will be the 8th seed. What's your feel around being with them as they start their new era tonight?
They've had a great vibe for a while, which is why they were able to lure Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and DeAndre Jordan to their team in the first place. I don't know if you guys listened to Durant's pod with the Knuckleheads, with Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson. He did a pod with them this week, and he said something just absolutely fascinating. I thought on that, he said a bunch of fascinating things, but one of them was, he said, yeah, I was all ready to come here to Brooklyn and, you know, sort of show them how it's done, give them an idea of what the culture should be, and I got here, and it was like, damn, it's perfect here. So that's a very interesting observation.
You think you see Kevin Durant as a culture setter? I see him as a follower.
Well, all I'm telling you is what he said.
He sees himself right. As one, though. That's
well, and let me just tell you something, guys. I've been here 3 days, and I've seen Kevin Durant every single day. He's there. He's there every day. He's working with their staff. He's committed. DeAndre talked. I talked to DeAndre quite a bit about this, which will be in the story, about the idea when the three of them decided they were going to do this, that they needed to buy into what the Nets have established
back
here.
Back in April.
Right, back in before that. Well, that's all another story for another day. Right.
Was DeAndre still with the Mavericks at the time, or is this during his glory?
Yeah, it's funny. We had a few chuckles about his time with the Mavericks, which he has called. He said it was interesting. Was the way he described it. You know, they're happy. Those three guys. I've never seen Kyrie Irving laugh so much in 3 days. And I did talk with him.
Good.
We'll share some of that in the story that's coming out. You'll hear from all three guys, Durant, DeAndre Jordan, and Kyrie, in the story that I do file. But they are happy. Now, they haven't played a game. And, you know, Kevin Durant probably isn't going to play a game this year. But the young guys are involved with them. And that's what I think is most important. It's not like they came in and they said, hey, we're going to show you how it's done. They're learning from each other, or so they say. We'll see how that goes, right? You've got to couch all this by saying, let's see how it goes.
But right.
I talked with Caris LeVert. He's so excited. Spencer Dinwiddie went to Hawaii for a week on vacation with Kyrie. They go all the way back to high school together. They played against each other in high school. So everybody wants to make this a great fit. Kenny, of course, we know Kenny. The sky is falling, but the sun is rising all at the same time with Kenny. It's one of my favorite things right. about him. He's like a yeah. classic New Yorker. And he's like, look, you know, how's this going to go? I hope it's going to go the way it's supposed to. But, you know, they're asking guys who have already won championships to follow a team that hasn't won anything yet. And therein lies the crux of the Brooklyn Nets over the next couple of years.
Did DeAndre indicate whether he plans on raising his hands above his head while playing defense this season?
Fair point.
Yeah,
I think you're going to see a different DeAndre Jordan. I might be wrong, but I think you're going to see
I'll say this.
Somebody that's still a lot more engaged.
Yeah, well, he can't get any less engaged. He's still a freak athlete. I don't know about...
it's in great shape, too, by the way.
I think Jared Allen's a better player, but we shall see.
Well, and there's, you know, you need both of them. We know that. You need both of them. And so it'll be interesting to see how it goes here, but they... the young guys in particular, just it feels like, you know, they take, even though with these great players around them, these future Hall of Famers around them, they're still holding on to ownership of what they've built here, and I think that's really important.
I was at the Clippers-Lakers game last night, and I was watching it, and I was wondering, you know, Paul George wasn't playing, the Clippers still looked really, really good.
Yes.
Andrew is really excited. He won't say it.
Was his man bun just dancing last night?
There were moments in the game. I watched the game with him where this smile broke out on his face. Mr. Clipper was very, very happy. I was just to say that as I was thinking, you know, yes, for a long time, Kyrie and Durant had, you know, decided they wanted to play together. I don't know when they picked Brooklyn. We'll have to wait for their various memoirs, even if they tell the truth in that. But I
do. You might not have to wait that long.
Ooh.
That's a tease. Yeah. That's what we call a tease.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. All right. Well, anyway, I do have a feel that there was at least a moment. Maybe the moment was 25 minutes. Maybe the moment was 24 hours. When Kawhi called Durant to inquire about whether he'd want to play with him with the Clippers, that Durant at least stuttered for a second. Hey, let me just think about this for a second. And obviously it didn't change. They had all their plans in order and they followed through their plans. And obviously Durant wouldn't have played. I mean, it was his post-injury, so Durant wouldn't have played this year. But there's a lot of positivity around the Clippers and what their future is. And I don't know, maybe in a year, maybe the 2021 finals, it'll be Nets Clippers and it'll be.
I was going to say, how about what their present is? I mean, they are.
Well, right. But I'm just saying
the
like
league, the league's you know, wide open.
Durant would have to think about their, being part of their future. And I just like, only Kevin knows how much consideration he gave to that.
See, Wendy, I'm going to call you out. I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite, though. You talked about how excited you are that we can finally focus first and foremost on the basketball, and you're talking about not what-ifs of what could happen next summer. You're talking about what-ifs from last summer.
Yeah, well, it's disgusting. That's the same. We have to talk about what happened because we can't talk about what will happen. so that's...
We can talk about whatever the hell we want. But I'm just pointing out a little bit of hypocrisy.
Come on, just say it. Call it. Call it. It's shenanigans. Call it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
First shenanigans of the podcast season.
I reject that.
No. Jackie's on my side, so you're outnumbered here.
Well,
your name might be on the podcast, but it's 2-on-1.
Yeah, well, anyway, I just wonder. I wonder in the future, I wonder if he'll mull that to see how this Brooklyn thing goes. And you know, he elected to. He wasn't just going after a championship. He was going after a more pleasant experience, and that's why I think he went with Kyrie and DeAndre. But from a basketball standpoint, maybe that's
right.
Maybe
that's. See, here's the interesting thing. Here's the interesting thing about that. So it's so funny to me, right? Because both Durant and Kyrie Irving did not come to Brooklyn. Of course they want to win championships, but they've both already won, okay? What they came from is these two guys, I think we can say this successfully, have been searching for some kind of basketball happiness that has eluded them in very high-profile situations and in very successful situations. And I think it came down to, you know what? I need, when all the stuff is hitting the fan, I need to look to my right, look to my left, and be with someone that I know knows me and understands me and can pull me out of this, and I can pull them out of that. I really believe that. And that's why I think that it was tilted towards Brooklyn for Kevin. Because he and Kyrie, whether it was in the Bahamas or in Rio or wherever, they're like, we're alike, and we can get each other through this. And, you know, the comments that Durant made in the Wall Street Journal earlier this year, in the summer, when he talked about he never really felt part of the Warriors, what a statement, right? What a statement.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been published yet, but Woj did a podcast yesterday with Bob Myers and Draymond Green.
It has been, yeah. It's out.
Okay, yep. And I read some of the transcript of it, and you know, Draymond talked about it. You know, Draymond is well known for talking out of both sides of his mouth, depending on what day of the week it is, because, you know, one could argue that Draymond was part of the group that pushed Kevin out of the center, but Draymond was hurt by that.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's whether or not it's reasonable for him to be hurt is for other people's opinions, but that, you know, but I will say this: if you spent much time around the Warriors, it was a constant. The Warriors always have, you know, there were always two balls in the air that they were always trying to handle. One, they were trying to keep Draymond in the in the zone, because he was constantly wandering one way or the other, or they were constantly apologizing for him or dealing with him offending people and knocking him back in line, not just with Durant, but with all kinds of things, with officials, with other teammates, with coaches. I mean, that's just the nature of handling Draymond. He's a very high-maintenance guy. And then the other thing that they were always constantly juggling was, how can we make Kevin more comfortable? How can we make him happier? How can we make him want to be with us and stay with us? I mean, they were... From the first moment at the end of the parade of winning their last title, they were worried and focused and trying to figure out how to keep Kevin in the fold. And ultimately, they failed. And they failed pretty.
The parade thing, that whole deal was a total disaster.
Well, right. Which is.
Let's go back to 2017. Did you feel any of that angst after they won
no,
the championship?
No, it wasn't until after their second title,
right,
and Durant's so second finals that. MVP. And so it's like, okay, oh man, what a tough experience. The guy won two finals and two finals MVPs. Life could be a little bit worse.
Of course.
That was the one thing that the Warriors said was, we really, really tried to make him happy, and we just couldn't believe that he wasn't happy. Now, Kevin would probably have a different interpretation of that, but... They felt they were trying.
When he was eating snake with Serge Ibaka, he was asked, what was it, like the all-time best, was it starting five or best 10? And he said the 2017 Warriors. So,
he did.
You know, I mean, yeah. Durant talks a lot and says a lot of different things. And
he's
one of the all-time great players.
Yeah, that was that knucklehead
okay,
podcast.
I'm getting his multiple media interviews.
Right.
Confused.
In the same pod, they asked him for the starting lineup of your all-time starting lineup of guys
that's what
you
it was.
Played with, right? No, but you're right. He said that about the 2017 Warriors, like the best team ever, whatever, one of his best moments of his life. But then the starting lineup for now was, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was Harden, himself, Kyrie, and then he was struggling to find a center, so they decided to slip Serge into the five. And I'm trying to think who the other player was, but it's almost irrelevant. My point is that
so Draymond didn't crack it. Like Draymond's had some success playing the five.
Draymond, Steph, Clay, none of them were on his all. I don't believe were on it. Maybe Draymond was. I can't remember, guys. But it was interesting to me that neither Steph nor Clay was. And nor,
Kendrick Perkins is probably mad he didn't crack it.
Or Russell Westbrook, you know.
Well, you knew Russ wasn't going to make it.
No, right. But so he put Kyrie in there because he's about to play with Kyrie. He hasn't even played with him yet. So, anyway.
Oh, wait. DeAndre didn't make it as the five? The great DeAndre?
He did not. I wish I could remember.
McMahon's disgust with DeAndre's performance last year continues to fester.
DeAndre just, has disgust for me for pointing it out.
Yeah. Everybody's and their brother are making predictions, you know, this time of year, and I'm bored with it.
Your favorite thing.
Yep.
I was thinking about this last night as well, because I was just watching how the two teams were working.
Hello, no one is available to take your call.
Real quick, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about Tiso. Now, if you don't know what Tiso is, you haven't been watching the NBA, but okay, let's just say that you haven't been. They are a Switch watch brand with a broad range of high-quality watches at attractive prices. This is something that you can get and not only be stylish, but also fit in with a lot of NBA players. They're stylish, trendy, and innovative, and they'll look good on any wrist. Tissot brings performance and style by offering painstakingly accurate timekeeping and, of course, stylish and authentic watches. Each one of Tissot's timepieces delivers quality performance and traditional luxury. Tissot prides itself on the precision and style of its classic sport and contemporary collections while committing to make excellence accessible to everyone. They've got a great variety from touch watches to sport watches to classic and trendy. And as I mentioned, they're the official watch of the NBA. You can shop the latest timepieces at us.tissotshop.com and, of course, at jewelry stores nationwide. Follow hashtag This Is Your Time and Tissot.us on Facebook and Instagram for more information about Tissot. And we're also brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. When I talk about Dollar Shave Club, I can't stress enough about the quality of their products. They've spent years developing, crafting, refining everything. They have everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. You name it, they have it, and I've used a lot of it. You know, as amazing as their shave stuff is, Dollar Shave Club is way more than just razors. They have you covered head to toe. They've got everything you need for shower, shave, styling your hair, brushing your teeth, even other places we don't have to talk about on here. And they can keep you automatically stocked up on those products. So you get whatever you want, and whether that's once a month or a few times a year, you don't have to waste any time worrying about whether you're out and whether you have to run to the store. When you can become a Dollar Shave Club member, you know you're going to get the highest quality, and you can get it set up to be delivered whenever you need it. And right now, you can put the quality of Dollar Shave Club's products to the test. Start of the new season, start of a new Dollar Shave Club membership would be great. Try their Ultimate Shave Starter set. And basically, it's everything you need for an amazing shave. A razor, shave butter, prep scrub, and post-shave dew. That's one of Andrew's favorites, is the post-shave dew. The best part is you can try it for just $5. After that, the restock box ships at regular-sized products at regular prices. But try that Ultimate Starter set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/hoop. That's dollarshaveclub.com/hoop.
Hello, no one is available to take your call.
Who do you think is going to lead the league in scoring this year?
Steph
Curry. Hey, by the way, it was
Draymond Steph or
Green.
Harden.
I looked it up, guys. I looked it up because it was bothering me. Draymond was his forward. So Draymond is the only player from his Warriors tenure that makes his all-time starting five.
Well, I'll take either a guy he left out, Steph, or a guy he put on the list, Harden, to lead the league in scoring. And I don't think I'm going out on too far of a limb with either
Harden's
one of those.
Better,
Harden obviously just
Harden's
had the highest scoring. Yeah, I mean, the guy just had the most points per game since, you know, Jordan's best season. And then, but Steph, obviously there's going to be more put on him this year than there has been in a long, long time. And, you know, last time that he played a full season without Durant, I do believe led the league in scoring.
You know, yeah, throw Giannis in there, right? For fun. To Anthony Davis. These are all good choices, aren't they?
I don't know if Anthony
Pascal
Davis is
Siakam.
Yeah, good possibility. Serious possibility.
Yeah. How about this? What about Bradley Beal?
Another possibility.
Harden's going to put up 30 plus. So,
all right, let me ask you this. How many guys are going to average 30? How many guys? I think we could see
two. The two I named. Harden and Steph.
I don't
30 is a lot of points per game.
That is a lot of points.
It doesn't happen that often.
So let me ask you this, Brian, because you were at the Lakers game. Sorry, I was watching that game. Of course, I watched it start to finish, and I was like, oh, my gosh, they cannot stop Anthony Davis. And then in the second half, it was almost like the Lakers stopped Anthony Davis themselves. Do you agree with that? What was going on there?
Well, I think what happened was that the Lakers were almost like – a quarterback. LeBron was like a quarterback who was just locking on his favorite receiver. Like, they came down, and LeBron wanted to throw the ball to Anthony Davis every single possession.
Tom Haverstraw, poor entry passes too. Poor entry passes.
Yeah, Tom. Well, part of it was they were so denying it because they knew it was coming. Tom Haverstraw looked it up from NBC. Anthony Davis had 17 post up plays last night, the most of any in a game in his career.
Right. This makes me so happy because we keep saying the big man is dead, and I say shenanigans to that.
Yeah, but the post up as a primary option, I feel like, should be dead.
Here's what I don't understand, and I mean, we're so early. I don't know what their game plan is going to be. LeBron is, the last 2 years, LeBron's come into the season with these game plans that are not who he is. You know, last year he came in and said, oh, I'm not going to be the creator. I'm going to be the finisher. We're going to have the other guys create. And, of course, month into the season, he threw it out. And now he's coming in saying, oh, I'm going to set up Anthony Davis. We're going to run everything through Anthony Davis. That's not who LeBron is. LeBron is not dribble the ball up the floor and throw the ball to Anthony Davis and go run in the corner, which is what they were playing last night. That's not who he is.
The LeBron AD pick and roll should be devastating, but then you've got it's clogged up because they're playing the remains of Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee at center. Like, Davis is a center in 2019.
Well, let's say too that with you're going to have Kuzma back, you're going to have Rondo back, you're going to have some other players that.
Well, yeah, Rondo really helped your spacing.
Well, no, but
the correct thing to do,
he can handle the ball a little bit. You can play LeBron up the ball a little bit more.
The correct thing to do would be to have a point guard who can shoot and be off the ball.
Well, that isn't
Rondo. That's the best point guard LeBron ever played with, maybe arguably the best teammate he ever had, now plays in Brooklyn. He didn't like playing in that role, but boy, was it an effective role with LeBron. And you play Anthony Davis at center, and you play LeBron as the center of the offense and run everything through him. That's the correct way to play.
But it ain't going to happen.
Whether the Lakers actually ever get there, I don't know. I don't know how they improve this roster. I'll tell you one thing. As I was watching, and I granted, you're not going to play Kawhi Leonard every night. I understand that. But you are going to play Kawhi Leonard in a playoff series. They don't have anybody who can even bother him. In KCP
And honestly, they've got that in common with every other team in the league.
Well, that's like, why
who bothers Kawhi Leonard?
That's why Andre Iguodala. And look, Iguodala may not have it left in the tank, but that's why, like, where Iguodala goes is just going to be so fascinating.
Oh, we know where he's going. Wait a minute, we know where he's going. He's going to the Lakers. Come on now.
He's going to the Lakers.
I've had four different players tell me. Every player I talk to tells me that.
If he gets bought out, it's not a guarantee it's going to happen. But KCP could not handle that assignment. I mean, again, it's Kawhi, but they just didn't have a guy to do it.
Green can't really do it either.
No. I mean, and here's the other thing, like the Lakers, the Lakers offense did not function, very well last night. They still got 7-9 3-pointers from Danny Green. So
he was awesome.
Propped up by that. Yeah. After the game, Zach Lowe was like, oh my God, that's the greatest shooting game of Danny Green's career. I was like, eh.
He's done some stuff in the finals before.
But I was thinking about last year's finals, and it was just such a struggle for him. You were like, everybody in the arena, every time he lofted the ball, you're like, oh, come on. He was in such a horrible shooting slump. Remember, he couldn't hit a three-pointer for like, I don't know how many games in a row. And so I loved watching that last night. I always want Danny Green on my team. I'll take him all day, every day, because he defends.
Well, Rob Pelinka's got to get him some help. Danny Green cannot do it all. Get the man.
Kuzma will help with the scoring when he comes back.
Yes, in my mind, they need a guard who can. They need a guard who can do a little creating and a little shooting, so LeBron doesn't have to play point guard.
So they need somebody who's not Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
I mean, Avery Bradley's okay as a role player, but I think the Lakers are
the 12th man.
Well, that's a role player. I think the Lakers are a player and a half short, and I don't know where they're going to get that player and a half.
And the Clippers have an all-NBA guy waiting to join the mix and looked all, like the Clippers are ridiculous. Yeah. That bench is, we have to consider that one of the best benches of all time.
Isn't Lou Williams just like, can you believe those shots he was hitting last night? I was like,
Lou Williams is a professional bucket getter. He is unbelievable.
He's an
assassin. Then Montrezl Harrell is ridiculous too.
Yeah, he's got to shoot free throws better though. He's got to hit free throws. But I mean, we haven't even talked about Patrick Beverley. Come on, we got to just give him some love. It was like a classic Patrick Beverley line. Okay, but 2 points, 10 rebounds, 1-for-7 shooting. That's Patrick Beverley in a nutshell. God, I love that.
And also, like, for everything that, you know, there's a reason why Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee have been journeymen. And the fact that they were getting beat out by rebounds by Patrick Beverley, you know, was
no
and,
crime
and
in
Montrezl
that, Brian.
Harrell.
Better men, it's happened to better men. I'm just telling you.
But
Wendy can't fully appreciate a gritty role player because he's kind of the diva of ESPN. So Jack, you and I can appreciate Pat Beverley. Wendy, not his kind of guy.
Yeah. Even though we're gonna be going off air, we're gonna continue this Clippers conversation for like another 45 minutes to see this.
you love the clip.
Yeah. He was in very good mood. All right, well, we're short on time today, but obviously we'll be talking to you a lot. Plenty of content coming your way. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Have a great week, everybody.